Live from our nation's capital on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
O God, who through your Holy Spirit raised up St. Teresa of Jesus to show the church the way to seek perfection, grant that we may always be nourished by the food of her heavenly teachings and fired up with longing for true holiness by her witness and example. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I've got a quote here from St. Teresa of Jesus, also known as St. Teresa of Avila. She says, contemplative prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than a close sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. I'm Gloria Purvis, and you're listening to Morning Glory on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and our very good friend, Teresa Tamayo. Happy name day, Teresa.
It's my feast day. Girl, Teresa Vavila. I like the shy ones. The
right.
That was quiet
one. Exactly not her, right?
Yeah. Good to be back, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
So glad to have you. So for people who don't know, Teresa of Avila, and the reason she's called of Avila is from Avila, Spain. Her religious name is St. Teresa of Jesus. People don't know, she actually reformed the Carmelites,
yep.
And she's why we have the discalced Carmelites. They have the the old order of Carmelites, and you have the discalced order, which it's from her. And she was the first female doctor of the church also.
Yes, she was. She certainly was. And I loved her feistiness and just the way she spoke to God so directly. That beautiful quote you have from her, Gloria, about contemplative prayer being between two friends, because she had a very down-to-earth relationship with our Lord. I mean, she adored him and was constantly writing praise and worship, not only prayers, but so many materials that she left us, and a great mystic. But she also had a very real sense about her, about life, and about what it was like to live in those times and the struggles that she was up against. I found this really cool article yesterday online about her, about how she was way ahead of her time in terms of the new feminism that John Paul II brought us, in terms of the way she challenged the church leaders respectfully, but challenged them, and was able to move forward with reforming those convents, as you said. So St. Teresa of Jesus and St. Teresa of Avila, a.k.a. pray for us today.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, you know, I was just on a pilgrimage in Spain, and one of the places we stopped was at Avila. It was beautiful. It was moving.
Yeah.
You know, it was so beautiful to have Mass there, and with her remains right behind, have her heart, and have part of her elbow there, her right arm. It's just, man, it's just...
Her
it's just
writings.
Truly beautiful.
Her writings, I'm telling you, that fried my wig when I read her autobiography and she talked about seeing her place in hell. Man, it fried my wig, because I was like, how is this nun in a convent able to see her place in hell? What about me? Uh-oh. it really was like, Lord, have mercy. But she's, and her works are spiritual classics. I mean, to read her works are just fantastic. Interior Castle, just all great things. We could go on and on about St. Teresa of Avila, but we're not going to do that today. We're going to talk about... well, first of all, congratulations and happy feast day to all the Carmelites listening. I know they're all rejoicing as well. But we're going to have a really interesting discussion today on the show. We will be talking about sex change, regret, return to sender. You're like, what is that? Return to sender, return to gender. I guess that's what they say, return to gender. So there was an article out where a young woman talks about that these people are called detransitioners. They, quote, transitioned to the other sex, supposedly, had regrets, and then returned to their natal sex. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. What else are we talking about, Teresa?
We are going to be talking about what is the impact when we ignore truth and the natural law. Everybody is still talking about the incredible presentation that Attorney General William Barr gave to the students at Notre Dame, which has really gone viral. And a lot of the people on the left are saying that, he's out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He wants women to go back to the dark ages, which is not what he said. He's talking about the fact that, the teachings of the church and natural law. It's not something the church says is just for Catholics. The natural law, the beautiful teachings that we have are for everyone. And then he described what happens when you go against that. And it was a brilliant address and really worth taking a look at it and really examining our hearts in terms of how have we gone away from maybe really not practicing all those beautiful teachings of the church that pertain, as Gloria, as you were just saying, to who we are, made in the image and likeness of God.
Amen. And Deacon, what else will we be talking about?
Yeah, we're also going to talk about condom distribution and the spread of AIDS in Africa. You know, they just did a study that showed the number of young people in South Africa receiving treatment for HIV has increased tenfold within a decade. A major new study has found. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what, you know, when Pope Benedict was in, what was his response. And, you know, and ultimately how NFP has affected your marriage.
And then we want you to join the conversation. Why don't you all email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Tell us your first name and how you're listening. So I have an update to a story that we talked about yesterday on the show. Tatiana Jefferson was a graduate of Xavier University in Louisiana. She was a pre-med. She was age 28. And if you're not familiar with Xavier University of Louisiana, it's a historically black college and university, and it's also Catholic. So she was a graduate. So it makes me wonder if she's Catholic. But she was a graduate of Xavier University in Louisiana. She was pre-med. She was 28 years old. She was at home this past Saturday night. And around 2 in the morning, the police came by her house because a neighbor called the non-emergency line to report that her front door had been left open and he wanted a wellness check. Well, police officer Aaron Dean, along with another police officer, came through outside her house. They were searching from the outside, and someone shouts, "Put your hands up, show me your hands," when she goes into the window to check on the noise. And then one shot is fired through the window. It kills her. Her 8-year-old nephew was in the room with her, sees her bleed out. Later yesterday, the police chief of Fort Worth, Edwin Krause, announced that Dean resigned. He also said he had intended to fire the officer anyway for violations of the department's use of force and de-escalation policies. Dean was hired by the department in 2017 and had been an officer since 2018. He was then, yesterday, arrested and charged with murder.
Wow.
That's such a sad story. All around.
Yep, so that's the latest update on the story with Tatiana Jefferson and the police officer from Fort Worth. We'll keep, as more information comes out, we'll keep updating the Morning Glory listeners. Well, another topic that's kind of a heavy one, but I think one has to be discussed. Teresa's talking about suicide rates.
Yeah, and it's really sad, and this is out of NYU. There's a story that we're seeing another increase, and this is like about the third or fourth report that's come out in the last year, I think, about the increase in suicide rate among teens. And this one is particularly sad. It's dealing with a lot of minority young people are feeling it as well, and especially among African-American teens, the suicide rate keeps going up. So I just wonder, all these studies showing so many young people feel so desperate, and they never ask, never seems to come up, Gloria and Deacon, the faith question, and why they feel suicidal. But you know, if you don't have God in your life, you could have everything else, but there's that hole that has to be filled somehow. And this encouragement to, well, if you're depressed, you know, maybe it's okay. We saw that over in Europe. This is what concerns me so greatly, where a young woman, a teenager, was struggling with depression, and she was encouraged to kill herself as opposed to get help. So these things should be very alarming to us, and we want to take a look at them and what is causing young people to feel this way.
That's a good question. I mean, I think to me, when you look at all the pressures that young people are under, the way that young people are living, it's just very, a lot of pressure, a lot of behaviors to me that are very damaging. For example, sexting, the high use of pornography, and other sort of behaviors among teens that just, to me, further disconnects them from their peers and just changes their relationships into unhealthy ones.
Yeah, and they're listening to a lot of these voices of the culture. And, you know, I think one thing that I would encourage young people to do is just spend more time in adoration.
Yeah.
You know, the silence and the quiet, and be, you know, Psalm 46:11, be still and know
that I am God.
That I am God, you know, and just experience God's power in their hearts and just listen to the voice of God and allow God to change their life.
So
there's always hope in Christ.
So the New York State Assemblywoman Kimberly Jean-Pierre says the number of black youth who are tragically taking their own lives is rising at an alarming rate, and that is why I sponsored legislation to establish a black youth suicide task force here in New York State. She was saying that based on the information that came out of this McSilver's Institute's finding of increased suicide attempts and self-injury among black young adults. So we'll keep our eye on that and update our listeners. Now, what happens if I fly Air Canada, Deacon? Am I going to hear a different message when they welcome me?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of these international airlines, they do announcements in different languages. Of course, in Air Canada, they do English and French. Mm-hmm. So they used to say, ladies and gentlemen, or madams and messieurs, as you are boarding. But now, because they have joined the politically correct train, they will now say, tout le monde. I hope I'm saying that right. You know, I'm a Latin guy, not a French guy. They say tout le monde, or they'll say everybody in English.
What happened
when you
to
board the plane now,
gentlemen? You know, and ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong?
That's
with that?
That's gone now.
What?
That's gone now. They said that we will be amending the onboard announcements to modernize them and remove specific references to gender. A spokesman said.
Oh, yeah. They got hit by the trans cult. Okay, that's just like what's wrong with them.
Yep.
Oh,
and
that
followed
really
what happened in London in 2017. Mm-hmm. Same thing. They for the underground train or the tube. They also removed ladies and gentlemen after pressure from LGBTQ groups. And just 4 months after that, New York City did the same thing in the subway. No longer ladies and gentlemen.
So here's what I don't understand. That's just a small percentage of the population. How come they're dominating everything and dictating everything?
You know, I think this is honestly going to be a good touch into your discussion later, Teresa, about when you forget about natural law. Because if you think about it, as soon as it's like people had no explanation as to why or Obergefell for redefining marriage was a problem. I mean, I think we forgot, you know, what it means to be a human person. We forget, you know, and so we didn't have the language, in my opinion, to really deal with these ideas that pushed on things that were so basic that we knew them just by knowing. So, so now you have, when people now say, oh, I'm not male or female, the people don't have the language, I don't think, or even the have thought about how to defend against that. They're like, well, you can do what you want. It's not hurting anybody. That's always the default, right? Rationalization for some nonsense. Well, you're not hurting anybody. You can do what you want. You have a right to determine your own reality. So, you know, that's kind of the problem. You can't determine your own reality in contradiction to the objective reality. You know what I mean?
Time and time again.
So that's what we're doing.
That's right.
So look, we are so glad you are on board for the ride this morning with Morning Glory. Stay with us. We'll be talking about sex change regret, basically, return to gender. You know, we want to hear from you on that. And so please join the conversation, morningglory@ewtn.com.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter after. We're on Facebook, EWTN Radio Network. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
And I am your coast to coast co-host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And I'm joined by the incredible Gloria Purvis. In fact, last night after the mission, a woman came up to me and goes, oh, I can't. You're the guy from Morning Glory. Oh, that's so awesome. And that Gloria, what a woman. she summed it up right there. Oh. And we have a special treat today. We're joined by the amazing Teresa Tomeo. You can hear Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection on EWTN Radio at 9 a.m. Eastern. And we're so thrilled that you're joining us today, Teresa. It's great
to be here, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, so before we get into our topic, I just want to let everybody know I will be at the March for Life theme reveal later on today. It's at, I think, between 12 and 1. You can get more details on how you can watch because they'll have a Facebook Live for the March for Life theme reveal. I'll be one of the speakers, and you can get that information by going to EWTNMorningGlory.com is the website, and check out road shows so you can find out more about how to watch today, so about the March for Life theme review. So you guys, you know, one of the things that has been bothering me about the whole transgender like train that came out of nowhere is how they have the movement itself has focused on young people and trying to get young people at a very young age to start transitioning. I don't know if you watched the whatever they called it, the town hall that CNN had on LGBTQ issues, as they called it, but there were young children, 9 years old, up there being lauded by the audience as transgender. And what was really, as I looked into this, I began to find out that young women are encouraged to bind their breasts. And if you can, you can go to Oregon at 17 and get your breasts removed and get your identity changed and driver's license, all that kind of stuff, changed legally without your parents' consent. So think about that. At 17, making these life altering decisions that have a permanent impact on your body. Now, because always being affirmed from a young age, oh yes, you're definitely the opposite sex. Oh yes, we got to live that way. Oh yes, we're going to start giving you testosterone to girls, So it is not a surprise to me that there are people now coming out and saying they regret, you know, the transition, and that they are now detransitioning. Walt Heyer has a website, sexregretchange.com.
I was just going to mention.
But now we have younger people, like in their 20s, which is when they say things like gender dysphoria, that people resolve their issues in their 20s. Normally, if they're left alone, they come to resolve their issues. But now with the medicalization and what we call transing of children, imagine what that impact will be. A girl now has taken testosterone, getting testosterone shots since 13, been on puberty blockers. Now she looks like a man, facial hair. The voice is permanently dropped. And then realizing, you know what? This has not resolved my gender dysphoria.
Right. Well, the thing that's so scary to me, and I interviewed Dr. Meg Meeker about this on Catholic Connection, I think it was last week, and she's been on the forefront and really challenging this and pushing back against the culture. And oh boy, she has been under fire and under attack, but she goes right out and calls it child abuse, especially because of the negative impact these puberty blocking drugs are having on young people. There was a story, and I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you did, you probably even discussed it on a recent edition of Morning Glory, Deacon and Gloria, but the report that came out from Great Britain on that research center where Tavistock, these medical people who are working there, came out and said, this is ridiculous, we can't work here anymore. They bring these young people here, children, and right away start giving them this very powerful medication, quote unquote, if you even want to call it that, without even sitting them down and talking to them. There's no interest in finding out, okay, where are you getting these ideas? Why do you feel this way? Doing a psychological examination, going ahead and thinking that we automatically need to do this. And again, she's calling it child abuse. It is just ridiculous.
Well, and in states like California, when therapists try to get at those answers, they try to talk to young people about it, they criminalize it. You can't do that now, you know?
Yeah.
They say that's child abuse. Actually trying to find solutions, the psychological solutions to their problems, that is child abuse, as opposed to, and in Oregon too, by the way, Gloria, I'm glad you mentioned that, because if the parents try to intervene, the Department of Human Services will come and take the children away because it says child abuse, that the parents won't allow the child to transition.
So now here's the thing that I think our listeners should know, is that there are people who are saying this is a problem. There are people who've been impacted by this. And I mean, it's just absolutely so, to me, very sobering. That when you have movements to, say, ban conversion therapy, people typically think, oh, they're talking about, you know, you can't help someone, you know, try to deal with their same-sex attraction. It also includes talk therapy for people who have gender dysphoria. It bans that so that the only option for these people is affirmation. So when you see all these laws like, oh, we got to ban conversion therapy, it also includes this. So these people don't have, why some therapists then aren't even allowed to offer talk therapy to try to resolve these issues. It's all medicalization. Now, here's the one thing this article that I came across said, this young woman who says she's been in communication with 19 and 20 year olds who have had full gender reassignment surgery who wish they hadn't, and that the dysphoria hasn't been relieved and they don't feel better for it. Now, what full gender reassignment surgery means is that these people have had their healthy genitals cut off and they are permanently sterile. 19 and 20 years old. A 19-year-old and 20-year-old man that has had his genitals completely removed. Same thing, a girl, breasts and, you know, in uterus and everything removed, okay, and on the opposite sex hormones. So a boy being shot up with estrogen or a girl being shot up with testosterone, and there's no way back. Like, there's no way to regain that lost uterus. Yeah. There just isn't.
Well, think about it. How many times do we hear stories? It's very similar to what the abortion industry does. They continue to suppress the men and women who want to share their stories. I mean, every year, Deacon and Gloria, I cover the March for Life for EWTN, and we walk down to the Supreme Court, and we hear women, we hear men, we hear couples giving their testimony, and those who are there, the little group that comes from Planned Parenthood every year, the media surround them. They ignore their testimonies. They don't want to hear the negative fallout of these types of decisions, these life-altering decisions. And in the case of the transgender movement, think about it. Let's say we have Dr. Greg Popchak, we have Dr. Ray Guarendi. They're always talking about the part of the brain that can't really discern danger or bad things happening until you're in, I forget, but that's the frontal cortex, I think, can't discern the fallout from those bad decisions until what? Their late teens, early 20s, maybe 23, 24. And here they are making these decisions in many cases, as you mentioned, Gloria, as children.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from you. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Then text your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. And remember that the data messaging rates may apply. How are you talking to your children about transgender society? Not only that, some of the things that we're talking about, that this is being actually talked about in Catholic schools, where they're encouraging the transgender transition in Catholic schools.
Yeah, let me just tell you.
Not all of them, but I know for a fact it's happening in some.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Look, let me tell you something. I went to a conservative Catholic all-girls high school, and I talked about transgender, and those girls are already thoroughly indoctrinated by the culture. They were saying things, they were like, well, trans people exist. And I said, stop, hold up. People with gender dysphoria exist.
Good for you,
I said, there's
Gloria.
A difference, right? And they were like, but so they had just all the talking points. It was really very interesting. Now, mind you, these are girls from families that sent them there because the school is a school that will be bringing them up in the faith, in authentic faith. But they had already had all the talking points from the culture.
Oh, I had a friend of mine, a speaker who actually was yelled at a Catholic high school here in Michigan, a strong Catholic high school, because she was talking about young girls not knowing their identity. And I don't even think she concentrated too much on the gender dysphoria. She just talked about confusion in general. And two women got up, two moms, and said she was a hater and walked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone do something like that. I won't say how the interaction went, but she heard something that day, let me just tell you. And so the thing that I think we need to think about is, you know, really, the woman says, and the people she's speaking to have been detransitioning, is that their original actual mental health problem had never been addressed. Mm-hmm. She says a lot of these people are autistic, okay, and female, and have been sucked in by the trans cult, but there's no real assistance or help for the other mental health conditions they may have, particularly autism. You know, so to me, it's just a failure of medical treatment. And for people out there saying, well, what about the parents? What about the parents? The parents are pressured by the therapist. The parents are saying, hey, join this support group. And everybody in the support group is pro, transition and medicalization. And if you ask questions, you are then hounded as a transphobe. You're hounded as hating your children. You're gaslit as being told that your children are going to commit suicide. So it's not like these parents aren't seeking help. They're being pressured and bullied into the wrong thing. So, yeah.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the impact of what happens when we ignore truth and the natural law.
We'll also talk about condom distribution and the spread of AIDS in Africa and ask how natural family planning has affected your marriage. We love to hear from you. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Tell us your first name and how you're listening. So grab your favorite morning beverage and join us around the breakfast table of faith on Morning Glory. on this incredible feast of St. Teresa of Avila. Woohoo!
I know everybody. My girl.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. Live from our nation's capital on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
And as we continue our day, continue our morning, we open our hearts and we pray to the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God, our Father, on this day we celebrate the feast of your daughter, St. Teresa of Jesus, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Lord, give us the strength as you gave to her to be able to speak out with all the confusion going on with both outside and within the church. Give us the courage not to keep our mouths shut, but to be bold and to always follow you, to keep our whole lives focused on your word, which nurtures and gives us life. And especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and word and the sacrament. So, Lord, we ask you to send your blessings upon us through the intercession of St. Teresa of Jesus. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I have a wonderful quote from St. Teresa of Avila. It's called St. Teresa's Bookmark. And it goes like this. Let nothing disturb you.
Let nothing frighten you.
All things are passing. God only is changeless. Patience gains all things. Who has God wants nothing. God alone suffices. You are listening to Morning Glory,
right? I have
that
prayer all over my office, Gloria. I have it in right? Spanish. I have it in English. I have frames. I have pictures. I have all kinds of prayers from her, especially that one. St. Teresa's bookmark.
It's such a wonderful, they say it's a good way to help you calm down. They say, take a breath and pray this prayer because it gives you such a needed perspective on things. Yep. So when you're out there tripping out and about to spaz out, like everything's out of control, take a breath and then just pray this prayer. Remind you, right? Stop.
Amen.
It's all just passing. It's not that deep. Well, you're listening to Morning Glory on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. I'm Gloria Purvis. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, the dynamic deacon, Harold Burke-Sivers. And we are so happy to be joined by our very good friend, Teresa Tomeo, Catholic Connection. What time can they catch you later on today on EWTN Radio?
9 a.m. Eastern.
So, you know, there was some interesting things here to talk about, Teresa, with the natural law. I was thinking about that, but I think you could break it down better than I can.
I don't know about that because you're doing an excellent job. I mean, I love listening to you, especially when you talk about the gender issue because you're so well versed in it, Gloria. So thank you for your contributions. But this this talk that Attorney General Barr gave on Friday at Notre Dame, I keep going back to it. And here's the thing. I was trained as a journalist. I have a degree in journalism, a minor in broadcasting and political science. And I always wanted to go into journalism, which I did. I was very successful at it for 20 years because it was all about truth to me. Reporters, truth, uncovering things and making sure that we were getting the information out there so people could make decisions for themselves. And I left the media because I saw a lack of truth. That was one of the reasons. And then a funny thing is, here I am in the church, which is the truth with a capital T, trying to help people understand the truth. And whenever I see a really good talk by someone like a William Barr, who's a strong Catholic, it just rings home with me because he's talking about the truth as in the natural law. Mm-hmm. People think that, and Deacon, you know this better than anybody, as you preach on it all the time, because we say, well, this is a Catholic teaching, that it's only for Catholics. No, just like the story you're going to bring up about the condoms and the spread of AIDS in Africa, there is a reason the church teaches what she's teaching. They're universal teachings that are good for every person, based on our design, made in the image and likeness of God, and the dignity of the human person. And what Barr was talking about just hit home in terms of how things begin to go off the rails when you break away from that natural law. And we can see it in the spread of AIDS, STDs. We can see it, Gloria, in the mention that you had and the great information about what's happening with this confusion and gender dysphoria. We see it in relationships. And this is what people need to do. They need to pull back and say, well, wait a minute. Why are things so crazy? Because the bottom line is, it's not that complicated. It's Ecclesiastes. It says there's nothing new under the sun. We're still trying to play God. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to play God, and you can't do it. And so when you try, this is what William Barr was saying, it goes off the rails.
And that's so pretty much it. So when we talk about natural law, what are we talking about here? It's that part of God's eternal law
right.
that is placed within every single human being, no matter what race, color, national, social background, doesn't matter. Every person has this spark of God's divine life within them, you know. And the fundamental principle says do good and avoid evil,
right?
You know, and I think what's happened is like when people think of natural law, they think of, well, it somehow restricts you, you know.
No,
natural law puts you in a box. You know, and you have to live your life according to what this natural law says. Because look, it says natural law. And of course, people think laws are there to control you and restrict you. But think about it like this. If you have a violin and the violin has four strings, if you take the string off the violin, you say, oh, now the society says, oh, the string is now free. It's no longer tethered by the natural law and the rules and commandments of the violin. The string is now free. What's it free to do? Nothing. It's right. Useless. Yeah. And that's the thing. We separate ourselves from the natural law. You know, we end up living lives of emptiness, of uselessness, of nothingness. Which
yeah, or Deacon, how
today.
About sports, right? I was just reading a story when I was putting the news together for Catholic Connection this morning about folks in Detroit are going nuts over apparently some decision the referee made, and it was a bad decision, and he wasn't following by the rules, and so there was chaos. You can look at any sports game, right? And you can see if you don't follow the rules, there are problems. You can't just go on a field, football field, a hockey field, and look, I'm not a sports expert, hardly, or the baseball field, and do whatever you want. There are rules to the game. There are things that the players have to do and the coaches need to do and to train their players. I mean, in every area of life, we see this. If you're studying to be a doctor, if you're going to law school, there are rules and there are things. But yet when it comes to the issue of sexuality, we want to remove everything.
Well, you know, right. Even in the example the deacon gives, you know, we think about the string is just laying there, but let's think about how it changes the violin too.
Yeah.
You know, missing a string, what kind of, you know, how it changes the what it can do. So, you know, people want to say,
it
oh,
sounds
it's
off
okay.
key, right? Yeah.
It,
yeah.
Well, and the other thing is that imagine if all the strings were taken off the violin to be set free. The violin can't make any music, right? Other than maybe beating on it to make it sound like a drum, but that's not the purpose of a violin.
Right.
Right? So this notion that these rules, and I did have a friend talk to me about the Catholic Church once, oh, your rules is so such and so and so. And I don't know, for some reason, it just made me laugh. And I said, you sound like a child. That's the only person I know that really wants to rebel against rules. They don't want to brush their teeth. They don't want to wash their hands. And those have negative impacts. These rules aren't there for control. These rules are there, if you want to call them that. These rules, commandments of love, are there for your own good, for your benefit, for your protection, to keep you safe. They're the boundaries by which, you know, if you cross them, not good things are not going to happen. But somehow we've got this radical idea that, you know, we should be able to do whatever we want without consequence. Well, the world just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And we're
well,
coming to find that out.
You guys
right?
are parents, and Deacon Dom and I don't have any children of our own, but we have lots of nieces and grandnieces and nephews, and you have to have discipline. You have to give them rules. You're going to tell a 3-year-old to go out and play in the street? Oh, just grab your little helmet and you'll be fine. Oh, Mommy, that looks like fun. I want to stick my hand in the bowl of you know oatmeal on the stove. I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, well, you can't not, if you want your child to be alive and healthy, you got to have some rules. You're like, see that electrical plug right there? Do not stick anything in it. Don't play with it. See those matches? Do not play with them. You don't say, oh, you know, if you want to play with the matches, there's a way to do it safely. I mean, come on.
Seriously?
Right?
I know.
I mean, I kind of almost laugh at it because it's so ridiculous. No, you don't do those things. You try to keep your children safe. You set boundaries and you because you're helping them figure out the world.
And that's
right?
what God does. He's our father and the church is our mother. I mean, and so people can see it in every other area except this when it comes
to
natural law.
That's why we have
law.
To align ourselves with the truth of natural law. It's like, you know, we as a church would say, wait a minute, that string that's lying there, that's not free, can't do anything. So we would tether it back onto the body of the violin, right? Over the nut, over the tuning peg, you know, over the bridge. And what the church does, natural law, commandments, moral codes, they tune us to the perfect pitch for which we are created.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about that is when now when you start to play, not just the string, but now the entire instrument makes sense. Why? Because when we follow the natural law, it actually frees us to be the person who God created us to be. That's the key. So the rules actually free us. They don't enslave us. It's just the opposite of what the culture says.
And then you see what happens in Gloria. You were clarifying that earlier about what happens when people buy into this gender dysphoria. Then they are stuck. They're regretful. They're the ones who are not free because they're not being who they are naturally. And they're ignoring the natural law and also the plan that God had for them. My husband's favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for each person. And St. Teresa of Avila has this amazing poem. It's too long to read on the air, but I encourage folks, I'm going to share it in my first hour of my program in about 20 minutes. And it's all about, "I am yours, I was made for you, what do you want me to do?" Mm. And she goes through this whole litany of in sickness and health, in speech or in silence. And she goes through all of these things, "Whatever you want me to do, I am yours, I am made for you." And when we open ourselves up to that and say, "Okay, here I am, Lord, I have come to do your will," be like the Blessed Mother with her fiat, that's when God, he's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on us. When we say, "Jesus, I trust in you," and we say, "What do you want me to do? I get up every morning. What do you want me to do?" That's when we shine, because we find out who we really are. And we don't rest, as St. Augustine said, until we rest in him. So,
you know,
anyway.
And here's the thing. I'm wondering if our listeners can help us. We named some things that we thought happened when people ignore the natural law. What else do you think is affecting our society since we've ignored the natural law? Join the conversation. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Tell us what you're thinking here. So, you know, Teresa, I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is something I think we need to ponder and think about, and then think about, how do we get back?
Yeah.
How do we get back to where we need to be?
Read St. Teresa of Avila. Do read some of her works and her writings. I mean, she's very clear, I think, and concise, very deep. But also, I think some of her writings are just right to the point and cut right to the heart. Thanks, you guys, for allowing me to sit in again.
Loved having you. Thank you for joining us this morning. It was great talking to you. And listeners, you can catch Teresa Tommy on Catholic Connection later on at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. It's always a pleasure and a joy to have you, Teresa. We just
Thank you.
On so well.
It's
just
we look forward to seeing you next week.
At the radio conference.
That's right. We're going to have a lot of fun. Oh, my goodness.
So
is Birmingham ready? Are they ready?
I don't know. We better call the state police and the local police.
Say, I got my bail money ready.
And Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to be there, too. So that could get real serious. Just saying.
It's just too much. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you again. Thank you, Teresa, so much for joining us.
Love you, too. God bless.
Okay,
have a great
take
day.
Take care. You,
yeah,
too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
So, you know, Deacon, one of the things I love when you talk about what natural law is, and you break it down and make it so accessible for people, and I love that violin example. I don't think anybody can forget that one, honestly.
Yeah, you know, as a musician, I like to use music analogies, you know, and what I love is, like, because we're all part of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the society says, well, you have to just, it's all about me. I got to get mine. And the culture worships the trinity of me, myself, and I. But for us as Catholics, you know, when that whole instrument, we're part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So it's not about me. It's what, how can I make a gift of my life to someone else? So it's not all about me. It's the gift that I can be to someone else. You know, this is Jesus gave us the example. This
sure
is my
did.
Body given for you, you know?
Amen.
This is my blood poured out for you.
Amen. So beautiful. And a lot to think about coming into our next discussion, Deacon.
Yeah, we're going to talk about condom distribution and the spread of AIDS in Africa. And we'd love you to join the conversation. Send us a tweet. Tweet us at EWTN Radio with your comment.
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter till. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
Yes, we are Catholic from coast to coast. You're listening to Morning Glory on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. And we are the cup of coffee for your soul. So wake up, everybody, and tune in to this conversation we're having. I am joined by my very good friend, the dynamic Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And I have to say, I'm so glad you co-host Morning Glory with me. It makes getting up super early totally worth it when I know I'm going to be with friends and smart ones, by the way, like you, you know. So, you know, this is a very interesting conversation to talk about condom distribution and the spread of AIDS in Africa, because my husband and I worked very much in HIV/AIDS ministry in the Catholic Church in Washington, D.C., and we were like the only ministry that adhered to the church's teaching. You know, we talked about why chastity, why abstinence was more effective than condoms. So I'm really interested in what's happening here with the spread of AIDS in Africa and condoms, which everybody touted as the solution to AIDS.
Yeah, so the number of young people in South Africa, where I visited, by the way, receiving treatment for HIV has increased tenfold within a decade. A major new study just found out, and the research studied more than 700,000 young people receiving treatment for the infection and found 10 times the number of adolescents between the ages of 15 and 19 being treated compared with 2010. Now, the reason for the study, they're trying to put a positive spin on this. They're trying to say, well, this rise is attributed to the success of AIDS prevention programs that result in better detection and treatment rates. But to me, they glossed over the fact that there's still tons of young people who are infected with HIV. You know, so it's not about, okay, now we're putting all this information out here. Now, you know, we've got better detection and treatment rates. What about stopping the thing in the first place? You know, and we have to go back to sanity here. I mean, Pope Benedict XVI, when he visited Africa, he said that AIDS cannot be overcome by the distribution of condoms. On the contrary, they increase the problem. The church teaches that fidelity within heterosexual marriage, chastity, and abstinence are the best way to stop AIDS. And he was vilified by the media. In fact, U.S. News and World Report said at the time that Pope Benedict's comments were one of the most horrifically ignorant statements made by a world leader. You know, and and not only that, when his comment was backed up by Dr. Edward Greene, who at the time was the director of AIDS Prevention Center at Harvard University Population and Development Studies Center, he said that the best evidence we have support the Pope's comments. And then all of a sudden the funding went away for his it's come on now. You know, so this is the what we're talking about here with the church teaches the truth about who we are. It's not just putting a Band-Aid on a problem. It's about changing behavior.
So Uganda did just that. In Uganda, they focused on abstinence and chastity, and they saw a significant reduction in their HIV/AIDS infection. They said their AIDS rate was reduced from 21% in 1991 down to 5% in 2001 based on chastity, abstinence, and prayer. And so here's the thing that's interesting to me is you find that the countries that then adopt using condoms and move away from abstinence see a corresponding rise in HIV/AIDS infection. Now, the new development on HIV/AIDS prevention, the new thing on the scene is something called PrEP, which to me is quite frightening. PrEP is basically short for pre-exposure prophylaxis, and is basically they take a daily regimen of they take a pill, and it's supposed to allow people to, basically men really, to still engage in high risk, what they call high risk sexual behaviors, but not they aren't supposed to get infected by HIV and AIDS. Well, now they found the third man on PrEP being infected by HIV and AIDS. So look, people, there is no silver bullet other than abstinence. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So they're coming up with these a pill now. You don't even have to use a condom now. They want you to just take this pill, and they claim it's going to keep you, quote, safe from getting HIV. And you can still do all those reckless behaviors that they once were telling you don't do. They're saying, oh, yes, fine, you can do all that because it's going to keep you safe. Well, it's not 100%. It did not, and it does not. The only thing that's 100% is what, Deacon?
Abstinence.
Seriously, that's the only thing. If you're seriously worried about HIV and AIDS and you don't want to get it, abstain, and then when you are married, be faithful in marriage. That's it.
Your
two cures, and they don't cost a dime.
We'd love to hear from you. Email us, morninggloryew10.com. Tell us your first name and how you're listening. And we'd love to hear, how has natural family planning affected your marriage? You know, maybe, let's be honest, maybe you start off using contraception and then you had a change of heart and now using natural family planning. Love to hear how that impacted your marriage. You know, one thing about in South Africa, when you talk about Uganda, you are so right, Gloria, because what South Africa did in response to AIDS was they increased the number of condoms between 94 and 98 from 6 million to 198 million condoms. Oh. So they just flooded the whole country with condoms. And what was the statistics showed as a result of that? So they looked at it almost 10 years later and revealed that the death rates skyrocketed from an average of 870 deaths a day to 1370 deaths a day, 57% increase. And Dr. Green said, again, the guy that used to be at Harvard, he said the best And latest empirical evidence indeed shows that reduction in multiple and concurrent sexual partners is the most important single behavior change associated with the reduction of HIV infection rates. In other words, that's why he was saying Pope Benedict was correct, because the evidence, scientific evidence, pointed to exactly what the Pope says. So what Planned Parenthood, you know, they, and their cronies, they don't want in African countries, they don't want to build schools or hospitals or clean water systems.
Right.
Their primary import is death.
Yes, absolutely. And you even see when you find out places like Uganda and their success rate in promoting abstinence and fidelity in marriage, you have these groups coming out and say, well, it really wasn't that that caused their successful decline in HIV and AIDS. It was really that they had an extensive social mobilization and strong political leadership about these strategies. And I was like, this going, this really? So they're trying to say it really wasn't the strategy. It was just that they talked about the strategy that made it successful. And I'm like, I don't know. These kinds of things, I just have to laugh because they're so ridiculous. I mean, obviously, it was a strategy of being faithful and abstaining that cause the HIV prevention of from spreading. Of course, yes, hearing about it and promoting it works, but people actually doing it, actually behaving differently, you know, that's what actually caused the reduction.
That's the key. And we got a number of emails. We heard from Dina in Avondale, Pennsylvania, sent us a text. The trans movement is killing the innocence of childhood. You can't just be a boy or a girl. Why is it so evil to teach the beauty of being a man or woman? Where is the seeking of understanding of who or what you were born to be?
Interesting. That's true.
Yep.
Greg also tweeted about the transgender and transitioning, he said, of children. He says it's beyond child abuse. It's child sacrifice when children are subjected to transitioning their sex.
Yep. And Wally sent us a text message. Very sadly, my 19-year-old daughter with Asperger's was indoctrinated in school and has begun transitioning. My wife is not supportive and my daughter has moved out. I provided the medical facility with her long history of mental health issues and it was completely disregarded. This movement has torn our family apart.
Wally, you are not alone. I am praying for you and your family.
Yes.
And frankly, I hope you all can sue the pants off of that medical facility. And Mama, I need to get some resources out here for our listeners and share where people can go to talk to other people who've gone through what Wally is going through so you can have community support and also figure out ways to try to stop the trans cult. You know, we also heard on Natural Law from Analgesic, that's the name, they were listening on YouTube. They say perhaps Americans abhor even the natural laws because they are a society of too many laws.
And Beth, listening on Sirius app, said the text of the therapist, I'm pressured to jump on the accept and affirm bandwagon from all angles. I'm glad to know about the autism connection because we can treat autism. We can also treat the trauma that co-occurs with autism much of the time. God bless.
She's right. Look, we're going to have a great show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about a teen's ultimate sacrifice. What would you do?
And the image of Christ. Should priests be celibate?
And also how to give God perfect thanks. We'll be talking about all that tomorrow on Morning Glory.
Well, on this feast of St. Teresa of Jesus, Jesus in the Gospel says that he talks about the Pharisees being whitewashed sepulchers. You know, they're clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. So get yourself to the sacrament of reconciliation and receive the fullness of Jesus. May God bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.